This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hey, this is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. So cybersecurity, it's crucial for businesses today to simply get it right. To stay secure and keep businesses running afloat, organizations today must shift their focus from traditional defense mode towards a proactive approach that delivers greater value to the business. So what's the state of cybersecurity at the moment? And how do you build a holistic defense system? With me on the phone today is...
Hi, Jeff. I'm Keith Martin, and I'm director of APAC in Japan for F-Secure. I've been living and working in Japan for about 26 years, and recently, as of a couple months ago, I've started taking over the APAC role as well for the company, and we're looking to expand into APAC a little bit further.
Fascinating. So, you know, I've done a lot of interviews looking at the Malaysian market, and now that you're looking over the Asia-Pacific market, was there a big shift in terms of, you know, how, you know, what's happening in Japan and what's happening in Asia-Pacific, Keith?
Sure. I mean, to be honest, I am still learning a lot about what's going on in Asia-Pacific, but I've worked in a lot of different technology companies over the years, and I know that there's a huge amount of potential in the rest of APAC, whether that be Malaysia, Singapore, Australia, India. There's a lot of growth coming out of those countries, and I really am excited to expand my role in those areas and hopefully be able to find some places in which we can find more business opportunities for the company.
Unlike Japan, Asia Pacific is very diverse in that sense. Even languages, it's completely
incredible. Yes. In fact, even Japan has its own diversity in a way. But relative to the rest of Asia, yes, you're absolutely right. I mean, I even look across places like Indonesia and just go, gosh, what a huge expanse of cultures, of languages. It's just incredible to me.
Give us an update of the current landscape, Keith. What's been happening? Why have there been breaches and, you know, interruptions to businesses more so than ever?
Yeah, I think there is certainly a degree of, we see more of these coming out because there's just more awareness. There's more people paying attention to these things. But you're absolutely right. We're seeing absolutely an increase in the number of breaches, the severity of these breaches. Part of that is money. There are more and more people, these cyber criminals, and this has really become kind of a cottage industry for attacking both individuals and corporations with ransomware and other forms of digital attacks that allow them to make money off of the general public.
It's fascinating in the sense that, you know, it is a risk that we put so much on the internet these days, and, you know, there is more and more stories coming out about breaches and attacks and interruptions in businesses. But yet, you know, if you look back at the fundamentals of the basic stuff, we would never invest in something that is at risk. Why are people still moving to this digital transaction, to this digital world here?
I think it's a combination of things. I mean, I think when you look at the fact that it is so convenient. I'm 48 years old. I grew up before internet, and now I look at how much my life has changed. I try to explain to my kids, and they have no idea what it's like because they're native speakers of digital. They've never had anything but the internet, and so I think people wouldn't want to give up, and I wouldn't want to give up the benefits that we've gotten out of this world. But we also need to be clear that there are dangers and we have to keep ourselves safe and do everything we can to do so.
So what's been going well so far that, you know, ensures that we are still on this right path forwards in building that, you know, holistic system and, you know, we are secure, we do have that defense system?
Yeah, I think one of the things that you can look to as being a success story, so to speak, there is an ongoing arms race between the cybersecurity companies like F-Secure and the cyber criminals. There's the better we get at one thing, they try to find another way to exploit a different area. So one of the areas that you've seen, for example, in the last few years is that endpoint protection has gotten much, much better. It's a lot harder if you have proper endpoint protection, you have you've patched your systems, for example, to get by those defenses with just your everyday malware. I mean, malware, the number of malware released, I think it was 2016, I believe it was 140 million new different types of malware. That kind of level of just what we used to be, you know, on the back of a box of, if you look back in 1995, 1996, you look at the back of a box of some kind of everyday off-the-shelf antivirus software, and it would have, you know, hey, we protect against these three or four viruses. It's really, really that basic. And now we're talking about $140 million in a year. The fact that we're able to keep up with that and find ways to stop that those types of attacks with near 100% perfection. Nothing's 100%, but we're just about as close as you can get. Not just us. I think a lot of our other the companies that we compete against, we also collaborate with, and we're happy to see everyone bring up their game. So I think that's been a success story. But what then happens is you have that same idea of trying to find another way to exploit systems. And this is where we see more recently, particularly with targeted attacks, where you see an increase in fileless attacks, where they're using things that are native to the operating system, such as PowerShell, to infiltrate into a company. So they get in maybe with, get a foothold with a phishing attack, and then from there we'll use standard Windows tools in order to move throughout the network and live off the land for sometimes months before being discovered or perhaps never being discovered. And this is where we're seeing an increase in a need for things like endpoint detection response, which look for those fileless attacks, because if it's not malware at the end of the day, viruses, those are files. And if it's using a tool that's built into Windows, you can't detect that with your standard antivirus software.
Keith, going back to that race between cybersecurity firms like yourselves and the cyber criminals, we've seen the advancements of artificial intelligence or AI being used in many different sectors, and it's beyond a point where us humans could sort of comprehend how it's done, and it's just kind of we kind of understand what can be achieved. AlphaGo, for example, and it's it being training itself to reach a certain objective. Are we using AI for cybersecurity defense approach, because it's only a matter of time before the cyber criminals are using AI to do attacks on us where we can't seem to understand how it actually happened then.
You're absolutely right. Yes, we, along with a number of other firms, are using AI regularly in our software. We've been using it for years. This isn't anything new, but it's also not a magic bullet. So we can't look at it and say, oh, well, we have AI, therefore everything's good. Artificial intelligence has its absolutely has its benefits in terms of when you look at the machine learning side of things, look at big data and being able to analyze huge data sets. AI is absolutely indispensable from that perspective. But it doesn't necessarily supplant the traditional types of blocks. We wouldn't, I use an analogy in a house. I mean, just because people have the ability to pick locks doesn't mean we shouldn't lock our doors. We should still have locks. We should still have those, if you want a motion sensors in your house and other kind of alarm systems, sensors on your doors and so on, that idea of multi-layer security is still pretty critical. When it comes to the dangers of someday the cyber criminals also using AI, I wouldn't be surprised if there are some out there that are already using at least a form of it. There are many different types of AI and many different flavors of it, from the very basic, and I say basic not in terms of the complexity of the technology, but basic in terms of the task that they're trying to accomplish. A lot of times what AI is meant to do is looking for taking huge sums of data and looking for patterns and then learning from those patterns and creating steps to provide additional security based on those patterns that they find.
What's changed in F-Secure's business with the rapid changes and the growth in the sector as well?
Well, one of the things is certainly we've doubled down on our efforts in the corporate security market. We see that as certainly the growing, the area of growing concern. It's where, as we see more and more targeted attacks, we see, for example, ransomware as a service. We're seeing other things that are putting more and more companies at risk. And that's where a lot of the growth, both in terms of the business side of things, but it's growing the business side because it's growing in terms of the dangers as well. And so more and more of these cyber criminals are looking and saying, well, okay, if we attack XYZ company as opposed to the individual, instead of getting a 300 euro or worth of Bitcoin, we might get a much larger payback one way or another, either through stealing of data, what have you. that is becoming more and more attractive to these criminals. As they get more sophisticated, they're going after more sophisticated targets. And therefore, there needs to be somebody who helps them defend themselves.
How should businesses approach cybersecurity, Keith? You know, we know it's not just an IT problem because it now causes a business risk. Everyone's involved. What's a proactive approach for something like this?
I think one of the things that I felt very strongly coming into this company and getting into the cybersecurity world is that people are often the weakest link of any cybersecurity strategy. So you can have the best technology in the world, but if your team members are clicking on links, clicking on phishing emails and giving in their login credentials, that's going to be a problem. So I think training your people, getting awareness there is very critical. But as you said, this should be a boardroom level decision, and there should be support for the efforts to make sure that your network is secure, that your data is secure at every level in the company. I think too often it's seen as a cost only. But when you look at some of the costs, I mean, one of the biggest ransomware outbreaks of late, the company Maersk, the shipping company, they were very public in their talking about the problems that they had. The estimated cost for the outbreak that they had with ransomware was a $300 million cost. They had to replace or reinstall, I believe it was 45,000 PCs, and somewhere in the neighborhood of 7,000 or 8,000 servers, if I recall correctly, in a matter of 10 days at a cost of $300 million. This is an incredible impact that could have been stopped by greater levels of security and looking at this as not just a, you know, let's keep the cost at the minimum, let's just do the very basics to make sure we're okay. It really is across the board one of the most important things that a company can do to make sure that their business is in business, you know, 2 years from now.
And I've always said on this show, technology is only as good as the human being using it.
For sure. I remember, I don't know if you've ever watched the TV show Mr. Robot, but I remember trying to break into this impenetrable system, and they were looking for vulnerabilities, couldn't find it. He says, I see four right here on the picture, and it was four human beings that were walking around, and that's where you can find the vulnerability.
I'm speaking to Keith Martin. He's the head of Asia Pacific and Japan for F-Secure, and we'll be right back after some messages. BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Jeff Sandhu here, and with me today on the show is Keith Martin. He's the head of Asia Pacific and Japan for F-Secure. And we're talking about the state of the cybersecurity industry at the moment and some of the challenges that enterprises are facing. Keith, what are some of the questions that should be thrown at the boardroom level instead of just asking questions like, you know, what's the bare minimum to be secured and protected?
I think rather than looking at what is the bare minimum, we have to say, what would be the cost to us if we had some of our most important digital assets stolen, compromised, what have you. So if you've had, you know, in the case of Maersk, it was about, you know, their ability to do their business, their everyday business was slowed to a halt because of this ransomware attack that, by the way, wasn't even aimed at them. This was not a targeted attack, but just to happen to be they were in the crossfire, so to speak. So if you look at your business and say, okay, I've got, let's say, 5 million consumer identities in my database, what happens if those get stolen? What happens if all these credit cards get stolen? What happens to our reputation? What are the costs of this? Those kind of discussions should be that sort of wargaming worst-case scenario. What would happen if this were to occur? And then working backwards from there and saying, okay, then perhaps a bit more budget is warranted to make sure that this doesn't happen, because it really could put smaller companies out of business with ease. I also often talk to smaller companies that think, well, you know, we don't have that much data, or why would anybody attack us? We're small. Well, a lot of times the reason they're attacking the smaller companies is because they're actually trying to get to their bigger partners. So if you're a partner of a large conglomerate, you are the target. Because if they can go to you and then create a phishing mail or an attack, for example, and get to that larger company, guess what? That larger company is not going to do business with you anymore. And there goes your business. If that's the company you rely on most for your income, you could be out of business tomorrow. And so those kind of things where if you haven't taken the necessary steps really could be mission critical in terms of your business staying afloat.
So really, there's no silver bullet for cybersecurity then?
No, there's not. I mean, I think it's to think that there's something that will protect you from all attacks, that is an unrealistic expectation. You have to assume that companies that want to get in will get in. In fact, we have a cybersecurity consulting arm of our business that does red teaming exercises where we're hired. Basically, the company will list their maybe five or six top assets within their company that are digital assets or even sometimes their offline assets, and ask us to try to find a way to get them and to be able to attack them. Mm. We have never failed in our ability to get into the companies. So we 100% success rate tells you that, okay, if somebody really is intent on getting into your infrastructure, they will be able to do so. The question is, can you detect it? It's not like in the movies where somebody breaks in immediately, they're able to steal everything and download all your files in a matter of seconds. It just doesn't work that way. It often takes weeks, months for an attacker to be inside your system, look around, look for weaknesses within the internal infrastructure. Mm. I think anybody who's worked in a corporation where they click on a file on one of your servers and it says, oh, sorry, you don't have access rights. Well, that's what they run into. So having to find a way to be able to, for example, escalate their privileges, to allow them to get access into different parts of the company where the most important data might be residing, is not an easy or quick process. But if you have things like endpoint detection response, where you can search for those types of anomalies within the network that might look benign to if you just have a normal SOC type service, a security operations center monitoring your network, they're often looking for attacks from the outside. But if you have one of these endpoint detection response type services, these are able to detect these anomalies that allow you to identify someone in your network that shouldn't be there, or someone in your network that perhaps it's an even internal player that is trying to get access to something they shouldn't, and be able to identify these and stop them before they can cause any damage. So it's not a silver bullet, but it gets you a lot closer.
So describe to me, what would be the best protection for businesses in today's world? What should it consist of?
You never want to ignore having some kind of endpoint protection. Some of the it's relatively inexpensive, and it does the job pretty well. And so having endpoint protection from a reputable company is absolutely top of the list. I would say of course you need things like firewalls and your typical network protections. Having good policy and education policies are also key, though. I think that if you started there, if you maybe even just the smallest of companies, having some kind of network security, having endpoint protection, and then having good education, right there gets you ahead of a lot of the people that are out there. Mm. I like to cycle, and one of the things that they often say about locking up your bike is you don't have to have the best lock, but you have to have a lock better than the guy next to you. And so making yourself less of a target is always a key part. But as you get up when you look at having more important and more critical digital assets within your network, that's when you have to start looking at things like endpoint detection and response. Mm. That would be, to me, the next level that you would want to include. We're going to see probably in the future some kind of migration emerging between endpoint protection and endpoint detection. Those two are likely to come together. At this point, a lot of times those are separate systems, but I do see those merging in the next couple of years.
Keith, for some businesses, they may not have the resources to be able to, you know, have all areas looked at and, you know, have a team dedicated to looking at cybersecurity. How do we ease this burden on them to make it easier that they are still protected in the digital boom? And, you know, SMEs, for example, you know, there are a lot of startups that are working with digital innovation and in that digital space, data is essential. How do we go about in protecting these, you know, young, you know, startups that are really pushing forwards in terms of innovation, but yet security may not be, they may not have that available resources at this point in time?
I completely understand and sympathize with that kind of the plight of the smaller startups. And I think what they should be looking at is using the readily available top level cloud services that are out there. Mm. I think that a company makes a mistake if they try to do it all themselves. When you're small and starting up, it may seem like a little bit more expensive. You may say, "Oh well, look, hey, we've got engineers, we've got people who can set up a server, we can set up a firewall. They know enough there, so we're just going to do it ourselves, and it's going to be cheaper." It ends up actually one not being cheaper when you actually factor in all the costs involved in keeping those things maintained. But some of the best easiest exploits out there are because you have a system that isn't patched and up to the specs that it needs to be. So relying on an AWS or an Azure or Salesforce.com and other cloud services that are out there to take that burden off your hands, you can trust that these companies spend millions and millions of dollars making sure that their systems are secure. Again, no system is perfect, but I think trusting some of these experts to take some of those burdens off your hands is a good way to do it. And the same goes with as you get bigger and you start to want to outsource your security in general to some kind of managed security service. Hmm. That's another way to do it, and it's more cost-effective than you think.
One last question, Keith. Sure. What's your outlook for the region now that you're looking to Asia-Pacific as well? What's exciting for you? You mentioned at the start, it's a really exciting space, especially Asia-Pacific. What are you looking forward to?
The growth in this region is absolutely incredible. I think that we're going to see more and more. We've got some great partners in Malaysia, in Singapore, in Indonesia, Vietnam. I think we're going to see a huge boom in the business there and an increase in the level of the security that's being offered to those countries. And I can't wait to be a part of it.
And I've been speaking to Keith Martin. He's the head of Asia Pacific and Japan for F-Secure, talking about how to develop a holistic cybersecurity approach for your organizations. And if you missed any parts of this interview, you can download the BFM app. It's available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.